Now we come to Hezekiah, and here we have one of the five periods of revival that came to this nation. Now you would think that after this period of Ahaz, there'd be no hope for that nation. They were depleted of their resources. They had been at war. They had been betrayed. And you would think that there was no help at all for them. Well, Hezekiah came to the kingdom, I think, for such a time as this, because he's God's man. Notice verse 1 of chapter 29. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. Now, his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. Now, you see that his mother and his grandfather are mentioned here, but not his father. Father's old Ahaz. And apparently he had a godly mother. Apparently he had a godly grandfather. And that influenced this young man, Hezekiah. Now we are told he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Now we've talked about him before when we were back in 2 Kings, and we were told at that time, back in 2 Kings 18:5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. Now here is a man that is outstanding. When you begin with David, and you come down through the list of all 20 of the kings that followed, well, 21 kings with Solomon, that followed David, there's not one of them that can equal Hezekiah. He's the outstanding one, and there were several great men and men that turned to God. Now, this man Hezekiah led in, I think, probably one of the greatest revivals. And we've had it in 2 Kings. We have it here now in 2 Chronicles, here in the 29th chapter and the 30th chapter. And we'll follow through with it into the 31st chapter. And then we'll go into the 32nd chapter. And all of this is about Hezekiah. And we've said that Chronicles is God's viewpoints, what God takes delight in. Evidently, God took great delight in Hezekiah. And then when we get to Isaiah the prophet, you will find out in the center of his book of Isaiah, there are several chapters that are historical, not prophetic. And they have to do, well, you've guessed it, with Hezekiah. Three times in the Word of God, we're told about this man. And friends, he led in a great revival, and I think probably one of the greatest revivals. And they did have several great revivals. Now, there was, in the revival that he had, a negative side. It's not in Chronicles, for the very simple reason, this is God's viewpoint. This is seeing it as God sees it, and God is noticing the positive side. And now, what was the negative side? Well, the negative side was just simply this, that these people had gone into idolatry. The temple was closed up, and they did have there that brazen serpent that Moses, you know, had made, and they'd kept it there. And now they were beginning to worship it. And we're told here, you have to go back to 2 Kings 18, verse 4 to get this. It says, he removed the high places, broke the images, cut down the groves, break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For under those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehustan. Now, what does that mean? That means, well, it's just brass. It's nothing. So that the first thing that he did was this. He got rid of this thing that was a stumbling block, because that which had been actually the basis of salvation for Israel at one time now becomes an object of worship. It becomes an idol, a stumbling block to the people. But it's just brass. That's all it was, just Christmas jewelry. And there are those today that worship the symbol of the cross. They feel like there's some merit in having a cross around. Friends, there's no merit in the cross, even if you had an original one. Wouldn't be any merit in it at all. This man here, he was a great man of God, friends. You can bow down, I mean, you can worship actually. You can worship in the kitchen. You could worship the spigot because it gives you water. You could worship the window because you could give it credit for light. You could worship your stove because it furnishes warmth and heat. And you could worship the automobile. May I say to you, a great many people today worship a television screen. They bow down to it several times during the day. My friend, may I say to you, there's no merit in objects. The merit is in God, of course. And that's the important thing. And so he got rid of that which was a stumbling block. Now, there's the positive side, and we're told here what he did. Verse 3, he in his first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Now, they had nailed to the doors of the temple. Nobody was using it. Ahaz had it closed up. But now this man opens them up for the first time over a long period of time. And now they begin to clean everything up. He brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east gate. And he said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. And believe me, friends, that was quite a thing. There was return to holy living, to honesty and to integrity. And that was something that was needed. We've got too much of this homogenized Christianity today. Just mix everything together. And then, will you notice many other things here that was to be confession? Our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They've forsaken him. They've turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, turned their backs. Also, they've shut up the doors of the porch, put out the lamps, have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. You see, they had deserted God altogether. Now, notice what this man Hezekiah does. Verse 20, then Hezekiah the king rose early, gathered the rulers of the city, and went up to the house of the Lord. He set a pretty good example. He took a public stand for God. And I think that today, that is one of the things that's probably needed as much as anything else, is to take a public stand for God on the part of God's people. And we need to take a public stand today in the office where you work, in the shop where you work, in your social gathering. We need today to take a stand for God.